man who claimed to know nothing became the most consequential thinker in Western history. That paradox is not a riddle, it is the entire point. Socrates lived from approximately 469 to 399 BCE, and in those 70 years, he never wrote a single word of philosophy, not one page. Everything we know about him comes through others, primarily Plato, Xenophon, and Aristophanes, which means the historical Socrates and the literary Socrates are genuinely difficult to separate. That tension, Bishop, is worth holding on to. Because even through the filter of other minds, what emerges is a figure so disruptive, so relentlessly honest, that Athens eventually decided he had to die. Think of the Athenian Agora, the open marketplace at the heart of the city, merchants selling grain, politicians rehearsing speeches, citizens arguing about war. Now picture a barefoot man, famously ugly by ancient accounts, walking up to the most confident person in the room and asking one simple question: what do you actually mean by that? That was Socrates. He chose the marketplace deliberately. Philosophy, for him, was not a private retreat. It was a public confrontation. His method had a name, elenchus, a form of cross-examination that tested whether a stated belief held together under pressure. He would ask someone to define justice, or courage, or piety. The person would answer confidently. Then Socrates would ask a follow-up, and another. Within minutes, the confident definition would collapse under the weight of the person's own answers. The key idea is this: Socrates was not trying to humiliate anyone. He was exposing a gap between what people claimed to know and what they could actually defend. Now, where did this mission come from? Socrates traces it directly to the Delphic Oracle, which declared that no one was wiser than he was. He found that baffling, so he went out to test it. He interviewed politicians, poets, craftsmen, anyone with a reputation for wisdom. What he found, every time, was that they believed they understood things they did not. The craftsmen were skilled at their trade, but assumed that skill translated into broader knowledge. It did not. Socrates realized something sharp. He had one advantage over all of them. He knew that he did not know. That recognition, the state of acknowledged ignorance, was, for him, the beginning of genuine wisdom. His claim that he knows nothing is not a simple denial of all understanding. It is a refusal to claim authority over matters he has not rigorously examined. For example, a general who has won battles might assume he understands courage in its deepest sense. Socrates would disagree. Winning a battle and defining courage are entirely different problems. This is where Socrates made his most radical move, Bishop. Before him, Greek thinkers had largely focused outward, on the cosmos, on the elements, on what the physical world was made of. Socrates turned the lens inward. He insisted that care of the soul mattered more than wealth, reputation, or any bodily advantage. That shift was seismic, and he did not treat it as optional. In Plato's Apology, he states plainly that the unexamined life is not worth living for a human being. That line has echoed for over 2,000 years because it carries a demand, not just a suggestion. He also described an inner divine sign, a daimonion, that regularly restrained him from certain actions. It never told him what to do. It only stopped him from doing what was wrong. That internal moral compass, combined with his public questioning, made him both compelling and dangerous to the Athenian establishment. Remember, he compared himself to a gadfly sent by the god to rouse Athens, which he called a large and sluggish horse. The gadfly stings, that is its function. And Athens eventually swatted back. The takeaway from everything Socrates built: his method, his mission, his willingness to face death rather than abandon philosophy, is this: wisdom begins with the recognition of your own ignorance and the commitment to questioning every assumption you hold. That is not a comfortable idea. It requires intellectual courage most people avoid. Socrates argued that a good person should not focus primarily on the possibility of death, but on whether an action is just or unjust. He lived that principle completely. He was convicted and sentenced to death by an Athenian jury, and he did not flinch. The man who claimed to know nothing knew exactly what mattered, And that bishop is where this story truly begins.